Well, good morning to you here in the sanctuary and those of you who are in the gathering. We welcome you to Calvary. Glad to worship together and give thanks to the Lord on this weekend prior to Thanksgiving. And I do hope your heart will be filled with thanks for all that God is to us in Christ and all that He's done for us in our life. We are a blessed people, aren't we? God is good to us. I'm glad you came back to church today. If you were here last week and I postponed the message that we had planned for last week because of the weather, because today's message, in my opinion, is a very important and strategic passage for us as a congregation. It's one of those shaping messages that pastorally I really want our congregation to understand and to live by. And I couldn't afford to have high absence for this message. I just really felt like this was a message that God wants our church to understand fully and to try increasingly to live up to in our life. I remind you that it's one thing to know the scriptures, it's another thing to do them. And what we always want to do is both know and do. Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, Jesus said, His last words. So we want to know what the scriptures say and then live up to it. So with that in our mind, let's turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7. And I think this is the passage in which Paul lays out an idea about what church should be like. And if you remember the words of Jesus, you know that He said, I will build my church. And when I build my church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It will be an unstoppable force under my control. And the church, which I am building, will go to places that are held captive by the powers of darkness. But the church shall go there victorious because Christ is building His church. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25... Paul later tells us, we'll see in a few weeks, that husbands are to love their wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for the church. Jesus loves His church, and Paul loved the church, and we love the church, and we want to understand what is the heart and soul of a growing church. And I believe it's wrapped up in these verses from Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when He ascended on high, He led captive a host of captives, and He gave gifts to men. Now, this expression, He ascended, what does it mean except that He also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is Himself also He who ascended far above all the heavens so that He might fill all things. And He gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. We'll stop there for now, but let me make some suggestions about what will help us understand. Jesus and Paul's, I think, favorite metaphor for the church was a body. A body. There are others where the church is called a bride, it's called a family, it's called a fellowship. But I think the most common in the New Testament is that it's called a body. And we can all relate to that because we have one. It's not perhaps what it once was, but we have an idea of the physical body and how important it is to us and how important it is to be healthy. And in God's mind, He wants His church to be as a, in a sense, a body that is very healthy. And He describes it in this way. And so I think in this text, He gives us some ideas about what makes a healthy body. What creates the healthy church. And I'm going to give three suggestions, and maybe you want to write them down. I would say that, first of all, a healthy body needs food. It needs food. And in our illustration, or in the metaphor that's used in the scriptures, the food that the body, which is the church, needs is God's nourishment. We'll come to it in a moment. But look at verse 7 for a second, and you'll see that to each one of us, grace was given. Verse 7 creates a contrast for us of what is preceded in verses 1 through 6. In 1 through 6, Paul took great pains to establish the unity of the body. That is, that we all experience the same things. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We are all united as one. We're all on equal footing. We all come to Christ in the same unworthy way and experience the same thing. But verse 7 says, but to each one. Which creates a contrast between all of us being the same and then all of us individually receiving something particular to us. So we all receive salvation through Christ, by faith, through grace, alone. But to each one of us, an individual gift was given. Verse 7, to each one, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And that giving of the grace of God to each of us individually, we'll see in a moment, I think is God's gifting for spiritual enablement, for the betterment of the whole body. And then this analogy is given that Christ gave these gifts to every individual member of his body when he ascended into heaven. And this illustration is given that Christ ascended on high, and he is the one who descended to the earth. And Paul simply puts this parenthesis in here that Christ, who gives gifts to every individual member of the body of Christ, is the one who came out of heaven, came down to the lowest parts of the earth. And I'm not certain what Paul is saying about where exactly Christ went when he describes the lowest parts of the earth, though I think it is a reference to the period of time in between his death and ascension, when his spirit was alive, and the scriptures tell us that he went and made some kind of proclamation to the spirits that were in captivity. I think Christ actually went and proclaimed that he was victorious on the cross, but he descended to the very lowest part. I think Paul's point is really this, that Christ, who always existed in heaven, never had a beginning, was eternal with the Father, became the incarnate Son of God, and descended from his place at the right hand of the Father all the way to Bethlehem. But not just to Bethlehem, right? All the way to Calvary. And perhaps not even all the way to Calvary, but all the way to the grave and to the lowest parts of the earth. And there made a proclamation that he was victorious over sin and death, and then he ascended into heaven and returned to his Father, and that's where he is today. Yes? Christ, our Savior, always God, incarnate in the flesh, went to the cross, ascended into heaven, and when he went to heaven, he gave gifts to men. And the gifts that he gave to men and women in his church are described both in two ways. Gifts that he gave in the manifestation of human beings, that he gave gifts to the church, which were people. And these are described for us in Ephesians 4 and verse 11. He gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. Christ gave these gifts to his church. And there are four there: apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers, which I think is one gift, a pastor teacher. The apostles and prophets were those that were in the first century. An apostle is one who is sent. A prophet was one who declared the word of God. And in the New Testament, there were apostles who I think have passed off the scene. There were prophets until the formation of the scriptures who declared the scriptures, who clarified what the apostles said. And then they were followed by evangelists and teachers, who I think are still on the scene today. Evangelists who proclaim the gospel and lead people to understand the true message that Christ is the Savior. And then there is this position of pastors and teachers that are the gifts of those who lead in the local church assembly, who lead and teach. These are the gifts that Christ gave to his church because his body needs food. So what is the role of these four gifted people? To give the truth of God to his church. The role of the pastor teacher today is to provide the nourishment of the scriptures to the congregation so that the congregation can hear the truth of God, respond to it, walk in it. Because Christ loves his church, he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors, teachers to his church so that the church would be nourished, the church would be built up, and you can see that in verse 12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service. In other words, the reason that God, Christ, gave to his church these four gifted categories of people is that the church would be nourished on the truth of God. And then hearing the truth of God, that the church, according to verse 12, would be equipped and built up and strengthened. Why? Because Christ loves the church. And the church is as a body, and the body needs food. So Christ gives these gifted men to the church in order that the church would be nourished. Which makes my heart painful to know that there are churches all over the place where the truth of God is not given. Because unless there's nourishment given to the people who follow Christ, they can't grow. Can't be, according to verse 12, built up and equipped for the work of the service. So when Christ thought about building up his church, he gave these gifted men, people who possess a certain kind of capacity and role that will be under the leadership of Christ to give the nourishment of God to his church. And Paul underscores that these church leaders have a crucial place in the local church in communicating God's truth and nourishing God's people. And my primary role as your pastor is to open up the scriptures so that you will say, what does God's word say? What should I do in light of it? And I want you to hear the scriptures every day. Every time you come here, I want you to know that that's what you're going to get. Why? Because I know my role as a pastor teacher, and every other pastor teacher on our staff, and every elder in this church knows that the primary thing you need in your life is to hear the word of God and respond to it. This is what scripture says in another place in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's read this out loud together in the gathering and here in the room. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. That's what I need in my life. That's what you need in your life. That the scriptures are profitable when you hear them, that they will do their work in your life to teach, to reprove, rebuke if necessary, to correct, straighten out your life, and to train you, that hearing it again and again and again, your life will be increasingly Christ honoring. That you'll be ready for every good work. And I will be too. Because a healthy body needs food. Now you think about what you are going to eat today. Maybe you'll watch a football game. You'll think about what nourishing things you might eat during that game. Or you'll sit down this Thursday at the Thanksgiving table and you'll think about what nourishing things you'll eat. You won't overeat, I'm certain. You'll be careful not to. You'll eat well because your body's the temple of God. You think about what do you nourish your soul on spiritually? The Word of God. The reason God gives leaders to the church is because they will be ultimately held responsible to God. Have you nourished my church? I want you to open the scriptures and know it, listen to it, hear it, reverberate in your soul that the word of God is given for you, that you'll be strengthened and nourished and equipped for every good work. And the elders who rule well, the Bible says, are to be considered of worthy honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. Why? Because preaching and teaching of the Scriptures is a really high priority for God in His church, because He loves His church and He knows that there is no human philosophy, there are no ideas that can be given by any personality in the pulpit at the front of the church that will help you like the Scriptures can help you. You need the Scriptures. And I pray that the church will be strengthened, that this church will be a healthy church, a strong body, because not only what you hear here, but because what you do in your own private time with God, that you nourish your own soul with the Scriptures by listening carefully to this text. The Scriptures are profitable for your training in righteousness, that you'll be ready to do every good work that God wants you to do. So what is that? Well, this is the second thing in the context here that you can see in verse 12, that Paul says Christ gave these gifted leaders to the church, verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service. In other words, the preaching of the Word of God from this pulpit is designed to strengthen your life, and of course mine, because I'm responsible to apply what I speak in my own life before I give it to you, and as I give it to you. And as we hear the Word of God together, we become spiritually stronger so that we can do the next thing that's required of a healthy body. And what does a healthy body need besides food? It needs exercise. It needs exercise. And that's what's referred to really in verse 12, that when the Word of God comes and the church is strengthened by godly, spiritual, word-centered preachers and teachers, the body is equipped, the saints are equipped for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. I think that wonderful, rich language is Paul speaking of a spiritually mature church. The preaching of the Word, the building up of the congregation, so that the congregation can exercise what is referred to in verse 7, which is what? To each one, grace has been given according to the measure of Christ's gift. That is, that every member understands the gift that I have received. And I am nourished by the Word of God, so I'll be adequate for every good work. The good work of living out what special grace I've received from God in order to use my spiritual gifting in a missional way, an exercising of my life for God. The healthy body needs exercise, and this is, in a sense, understanding what my life mission is, the way God gifted me for, verse 12, the work of service in the body of Christ. Look at verse 12 again. For the work of service, the building up of the body of Christ. This word equipping is to make someone completely adequate or sufficient for someone, for something, for some task. So the preaching of the Word leads to the building up of the congregation so that the congregation can fully exercise the gifts that they have received for the betterment and building up of the body of Christ. These spiritual gifts are not primarily about our receiving something special for ourselves, but something that will help the rest of the body of Christ. So every one of us in this room, all of us at the gathering, have received a special and divine enablement from God to us that we ought to use for the betterment of this congregation. It's exercise. It's mission. Do you know what yours is? If you don't know what yours is, I would suggest to you that you begin to just say, Lord, will you help me know how to use the way you've made me, how you've gifted me for the betterment of this congregation? Because you need exercise spiritually. When's the last time you got a good spiritual run? A good spiritual exercise of stretching out and doing something in your gifting for God and His glory and the good of this church, the good of the place that He's put you. This spiritual exercise that God wants us to be involved in is using our spiritual enablement for God's glory in the church. It's not primarily about empowering us to grow into our self-actualization that I become greater in my gift. The gifts are really given for the common good of others around us. So that you can see right in verse 12, the work of the service for the building up of the body of Christ. When God gave you a spiritual gift, it wasn't for you primarily, it was for me. And for everyone else in this congregation to experience something of God's grace to you. Now, let's help understand this in another text. So, maybe we should go, first of all, to the right in your Bible, to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, and let's look at this for a second. 1 Peter 4 and verse 8 would be a good place to start. 1 Peter 4, verse 8. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. And then here's the key verse, which is also on the screen for us. As each one has received a special gift. So how many in the body of Christ have received a special gift? Everyone. Does that mean you? Okay, do you know what your gifting is? Let's say that again. Maybe they're answering louder in the gathering. How many of us have received a special gift from God? Everyone. Okay. So now rhetorically, which means you don't answer out loud. Do you know what yours is? Do you know how God wired you, gifted you, for the betterment of the rest of the church? Verse 10. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving whom? One another. This gifting that God gave to you is not primarily for you, but for others. As good stewards, because God has given you this gift, and you will give an account for the way you've used it. You will answer to God, as I will, at the end of our life, what did you do with the gifting I gave you? You are a steward. It was something you received. You're responsible for it. It's from God, for His church. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That word manifold is the word multifaceted. If you think of, I think a humorous way to describe it is a disco ball. Multifaceted. It spins around and the light of Christ shines on it. What happens? It goes everywhere. It's multifaceted. Not yours. Yours is specific to you. But when you think of the church has experienced a multifaceted grace that as many people are in here is the way God gifted you and made you unique for the betterment of the rest of the body of Christ. And so then there's an explanation of what some of the gifts are here in 1 Peter. Verse 11, whoever speaks, do it as if you are speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves, do it as if you are serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things, who's glorified in your use of your gift? God is glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory and the dominion forever. The gift is from God for the benefit of the rest of the congregation. Now let's look at another passage. Well, let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, and see this in one other place. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4 are the four key passages on spiritual gifting. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4. But Romans chapter 12, verse 4, Paul says, "For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members don't have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of it. Since we all have gifts that differ according to the grace given us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. if prophecy according to your proportion of your faith, if service according to your serving, he who teaches in your teaching, or he who exhorts in your exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And there's a brief list of some of the gifting that God gives to the church. You think about all of these gifts and many others are necessary for the church to grow to maturity. And if we don't have all of those gifts exercising, then we will not be as mature as a congregation as we could be. So, let every person exercise your gift for the common good of the congregation. And then some of them are listed. Teaching, exhortation, mercy. Aren't you glad that there are members of the congregation who have mercy? Can you imagine if everybody was an exhorting preacher like me? That'd be terrible. It'd be awful, wouldn't it? You need, yes, okay, thank you. They said, yeah, okay. It'd be bad. You need exhortation. You need mercy too. People who can come alongside and say, how can I help you? Did you notice in this little Romans chapter 12 text, there is a reference to giving as a spiritual gift? We don't talk about this too much, but giving financially of yourself, of your resources, as a spiritual enablement. Let's just take a minute and talk about this. We don't mention this much, but do you know that some of this members of this congregation have been uniquely gifted by God with the ability to give financially of their resources for the advance of the kingdom and the purposes of God in the church? And those of you who have this gift, in the love of Christ, I want to encourage you to grow in your ability to exercise your spiritual enablement to give generously for God and His kingdom and His church. In fact, in your bulletin this morning, we will all see there is an insert that describes some particular needs that Calvary has as a fellowship. And some of you who have the spiritual gift of giving of your resources may want to look at that and say, God, is there a way that you want me to release the resources that you have given to me to further advance your kingdom in ways that Calvary has not been able to this far? I want you to pray about that. I ask all of you to pray about that. But some of you who are uniquely gifted by God to give, that's God's gifting to you. You'll know it by the way He blesses you, He enables you to make resources. And you know that He doesn't let you make resources primarily for your own benefit, but for whatever purposes He has for your life, so that you receive them and then you release them and God entrusts you with more. This is the way it is for all of the spiritual gifts that are listed, not just giving, but those of you who teach, those of you who serve. The serving and the giving of your gifts is going to help build up Calvary Bible Church to the description in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13, until we all attained to this level of spiritual maturity. And I just want to remind you again that if you're not exercising your gifting, we're going to be diminished as a church. You understand that? Your part in exercising your gifts for the benefit of this congregation are crucial for us to become who God wants us to be. Because a healthy body needs food, and a healthy body needs exercise. Now, one more statement about the gifts. Who gives the gifts to us? God does, according to His sovereign decision. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, as each one has received a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So God gives by His design to us. A couple implications then. If God gives gifts, you don't have to seek a particular gift. Just try to pray that God will help you understand how He's made you. Don't seek the gift of whatever you think is the special one. You just pray, God, help me to know what your gift is, because God gives it. Secondly, because God gives gifts, no gift should be exalted over another one. We're going to see this in just a moment. All the gifts are important. No one gift, including my gift, even though I get to exercise it for 35 minutes in front of you each week, no one gift is more important than others. So it shouldn't be exalted. And thirdly, because God gives gifts to all of us, no gift should be left unused for that issue of stewardship that we just talked about. Okay? So as each one has received a gift, employ it in serving one another as the good stewards of the manifold grace of God. How does God use you? That's what you ought to ask. God, how do you want to use me in the church? And God will answer that for you. All right, so healthy bodies need food. They need exercise. And thirdly, I would say that a healthy body, if you just look down at verse 14, it needs every member. Needs every member. A healthy body needs every part. As a result, we are no longer children, tossed here and there by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine. As you grow to maturity, you become more stable and mature, and not carried about by the trickery of men or craftiness and deceitful scheming. But the church speaks the truth in love. We grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together, now watch, by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Now you can hear Paul make a point about every particular part of the body in the illustration. And in fact, in some of the older translations, it's a reference to what every joint supplies. In my text, yours might have had the word sinew. Some of you remember that? It's the word ligament. And it's as if Paul is saying the body needs every part. Not just the hand, the ear, the mouth, the face, the skin, the legs, the feet. It needs everything that can't be seen. The inside that holds the joints together, the sinews, the ligaments. And some of us are ligaments. We're the parts that are behind the scenes that can't be seen. And they help hold the body together. And if you've ever gone with a torn meniscus or ACL or something between your bones that's missing, and you know what pain that is. Some of you have had your joints replaced because there's no more ligaments. And what Paul's basically saying is the body needs every single part to be healthy. And I would say that a word that goes over the top of that is that means the body is a community. It's held together by every part, and the community of God's family is interrelated. And the gifting that we are receiving from Christ is what makes us this kind of community. Now let's look at one more passage before we quit today in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12, where this analogy of the body is given in its fullest explanation. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 says, each one has received a gift for the common good. But verse 14 says, the body is not one, but many. And the foot can't say to the hand, I'm not part of the body. Or if it does say that, it's not any less a part of the body, is it? No. And the ear, if the ear says, I'm not the eye, I'm not part of the body, it's not for this reason any less part of the body, is it? You look and say, boy, I wish I were that. I wish I had that gift. I wish I had that opportunity to serve. No, that's not what we ought to be looking at. What we ought to be looking at is, God, how have you made me? And I'm a crucial part of the body of Christ. I need to understand my mission. I understand that my gifting is what properly exercised creates the community of God's people here, a people nourished by truth, strengthened by mission and exercise, I know what my gift is, and held together by love in the community of God. And if you follow 1 Corinthians all the way to chapter 13, what's chapter 13 about? Love. Because every exercise of gifting within the fellowship of God's church is to be done in a spirit of love. I give my gift because I love you. And sometimes I really sense this when I prepare during the week. I'm thinking, I love this church. I want them to be nourished. Lord, give me a message. Give me something that you want them to hear. Why? Because I want you to hear from God. This is the reason why some of you serve, some of you give, some of you have mercy, you go to the hospital, you're in the community. Why? Because you're motivated by love. It's what holds the community of God's family together. There's a great verse that describes what this was like in the New Testament at the very beginning of the formation of the church, Acts chapter 2. Let's read this out loud together. Acts chapter 2. After the experience of coming to Christ was new to brand new Christians. And this is what we read about them. Let's read it together. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone kept a sense of awe. Why? Teaching through the truth, exercise of their gifting, a community held together by love. There was this sense of awe as God was working in them. And the verses that follow describe, therefore, they loved each other with such fervency that they released their possessions to each other. They sold things and they shared things in common and they ministered to one another's needs as God enabled them. And there was such a love and community in the church that it grew. And in one season, 3,000 members were added to the church. Why? Because committed to teaching, exercising gift, held together by love. These three words are the words that I look at the church and I say, this is what God's idea of a mature church is. Number one, truth. Guided by truth. Held together by truth. Number two, mission. Every member says, I know what God made me to do, and I'm doing it. I'd say to you, if you're not sure what that is for you, let us know. We'd love to help guide you. And if you want to just begin to say, Lord, would you help show me how you've wired me, how you've gifted me, and let me use my gifts for your glory. And the third thing that holds the church together is the church of community that says, I love the people of God. I love your kingdom. I love your church. And I love your truth. And I know why you've made me. And I want the church to be built up. When Paul said he gave gifts to his church, he gave gifts to men, it was for this purpose, that the church would grow to spiritual maturity in Christ. And that's what we pray will happen even here at Calvary Bible Church, and that the expression of it will be the growing of the body of Christ together in love. I pray this for you. I pray you'll discover your gift, you'll be nourished by his truth, and you'll be, in a new sense, really recommitted to loving God's church here at Calvary. Let's pray together. I'd like to ask you this morning, would you just say, I need to find my place in the body of Christ, that this church will grow as God wants it to. This is his church. And I want to give of myself for the gifting, the expression of my gifts in this fellowship. And I pray, God, that you'll help me discover what that is and be nourished by your truth. And I pray you'll hold our church together with a deep and fervent love for one another, that we will be a very mature congregation. We won't be perfect, but I pray we'll be mature in Christ, guided by truth, committed to mission, and held together in a sense of fervent community of love for one another. I pray you'll do this and awaken our hearts that we would say to you today, God, I will be part of this congregation with these commitments. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.